Hello, and welcome to this podcast about the first meeting of 2020 of the International Accounting Standard Board on the amendment to IFRS 17 project. My name is Roberta Ravelli, and I'm a member of the technical staff. With me today, Davide Scott, a member of the board. At the January 2020 meeting, the board continued its discussion on the matters raised by stakeholders when providing the feedback on the amendments to IFRS 17, which were proposed in the exposure draft that we published in June last year. Following the analysis of the feedback from the outreach and comment letters, the board decided on its plan for redeliberating those matters, and the plan included 19 topics for the board to consider further. So, where we are with the redeliberation plan? During the last two meetings, the board finalized 12 of the 19 topics. For 9 of these topics, the board confirms the proposal in the exposure draft with some clarifications, or confirm the board decision to retain unchanged the requirement in IFRS 17 as originally issued. With respect to the other three topics, in December last year, the board decided to extend the amendment for reinsurance contract held to all reinsurance contract. And in January, the board decided to confirm the proposed scope exclusion from IFRS 17 for some credit card contracts with some changes. It also decided to provide an option relating to the interim financial statements. So, Davide, what can you tell us about the discussion at the most recent January board meeting?
So I think, Roberta, it was a good discussion again. I think the board presented 5 papers for us to discuss, and I think it's perhaps easiest to divide those 5 topics into sort of 3 specific conclusions or outcomes, if you like. I think, firstly, there were 2 papers in which the board agreed with the staff recommendation to make further amendments to the standard following the feedback that we had got from constituents. On the first of these, which is the dealing with credit cards, essentially the board dealt with the concern that a number of our constituents had that if credit cards were pushed out of IFRS 17 and IFRS 9, they would frequently need to be accounted for using the IFRS 9 requirements, and in at least some circumstances, that would not give rise to appropriate outcomes or useful outcomes. And so what the board agreed in that circumstance is that where, and perhaps to use the wording that's very specific here, where the credit card has, or the credit card insurance feature has not been separately priced for, and only in those circumstances, and the insurance feature is a contractual feature of the credit card agreement. In those circumstances, when the contract lands in IFRS 9, it'll be split. The credit card feature itself will be dealt with under IFRS 9, and the insurance element will be referred back to IFRS 17. And the background to that is that these are insurance products. They clearly are part of the insurance world. They are being dealt with, and as was discussed in the meeting, they were being originated by the issuers of the credit card deliberately and as a insurance product. So it makes sense that they would be accounted for under the insurance accounting process. There was some discussion in the meeting about the complexity that might create for particularly banks who are not otherwise accounting for insurance products. But I think the view that was expressed is, firstly, as I mentioned, this is a deliberate intent of the bank to enter into this product. And also, I think what was unexpressed at the meeting but talked about a little bit afterwards is that these products typically are quite short duration and they therefore will be very simple to account for given the simplifications that IFRS 17 includes for short duration contracts. And the other decision we made regarding that was to broaden the scope slightly. So the scope now is not just credit cards explicitly, but credit cards and other products that have similar features to credit cards. So that was the first change. The second change we spoke about, as you mentioned earlier, is regarding interim reporting. IFRS 17, as originally written or as written right now, requires that you do period-on-period accounting and interim reporting. That means that at your interim date, you close your books essentially and then reopen them for the next period. The board discussed a little bit about the complication that creates, and I think what we had established is that this is very much systems-based, how entities currently run their systems. Some entities out there run their systems on exactly this period-by-period basis, closing at a certain point, but other insurers actually run it on a year-to-date basis, where they accumulate everything towards a final result at year-end. And the staff paper concluded that there was not a significant loss of information depending on which particular route you went. There weren't significant issues of inconsistency, but that there was significant cost in moving from either one of the underlying systems to the other approach. And so the board agreed to provide an option to insurance entities to choose which of those two approaches they wanted to follow, and then they would apply that going forward. So I think those are the two specific changes to the requirements we had previously set. The board also discussed the prohibition that is currently in IFRS 17 from applying risk mitigation, the risk mitigation option retrospectively. That prohibition arises from concern around hindsight. I think although the board expressed some sympathy for where this issue comes from, the board was very concerned about the knock-on effects of allowing this in a circumstance where hindsight could be applied. And we felt really what it would do is it would detract from the overall value of CSM, because it would have an effect on the CSM value. And as a consequence of that, it would actually make all the work that people are putting into getting their opening CSM balances right essentially redundant. You would lose a lot of the benefit, the effect of that. Even if you were not applying hindsight, the effect would sort of flow through. So the board felt, even though we were sympathetic for it, the knock-on effects of this just did not make it worth making this change. And then the other one we talked about was business combinations, and this is specifically the accounting for a contract after you've acquired it in a business combination. And I think the board emphasized there the importance of one of the objectives of this project, which was to align insurance accounting with accounting for all other companies across the board. And so having a consistent IFRS body that people can understand in a common way is an important part of what 17 sets out to achieve. And so because of that, the board decided not to make a change for to IFRS 17 for that. And I think the last topic we discussed wasn't really one that came out of any of the previous topics. This related to the fact that one of the amendments that we had proposed was to make a change to IFRS 17 to recognize acquisition cash flows, acquisition costs, if you like, that are recognized before a contract is entered into. And a concern that had been raised and that the board had sought to address was in circumstances where they're expected to be future renewals, there needs to be some form of allocation of those renewals to the future contracts that are still to be written. As a part of the comment letter process, we heard from some commentators that we had dealt effectively with that particular issue, but they were concerned about what happened with or what would happen at transition. And so the board agreed with the staff recommendation again that what we would do is we would allow various transition approaches, depending on the quality of information available and how you were transitioning the rest of the contract, and that this pretty much fits in with how our transition requirements work for all other elements of the model.
Okay, good. So after this important discussion at the January meeting, this discussion leave some topics for further discussion at future meetings. What you can tell us about the future steps on this project?
So, Roberta, the current intention is that the staff will bring the remaining technical issues to us at the February board meeting. So by the end of the February board meeting, we should have finished the technical elements of the redeliberation process. The intention now is that we will then give those technical decisions a little bit of time to rest in the minds of board members, with a view that the staff will bring the effective date discussion to us in March. That'll allow us as board members to consider both the feedback we've received on the effective date, but also to consider the whole of the package of amendments that we're suggesting at this point. And I think both of those elements are important in thinking about the future effective date. So two more meetings, essentially, one to discuss the technical stuff and then the last one to look at the effective date. I think it is important. A lot of people, and perhaps we had indicated earlier that we expected to be finished everything at the end of February, but we've been mulling this idea of when the effective date paper should come for a while. And we don't think that the fact that the paper is coming in March has any any impact on the timetable we have, and specifically the intent to publish these amendments by or before the end of June.
Well, thank you for this summary of the IFRS 17 discussion at the January 2020 meeting, and thank you all for listening.